This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse. This is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, we're still recording remotely, but we're thankful for technology. And we are looking back at a sermon that you preached this past Sunday. Very, very important message on being on the same page with God about salvation. How are you doing today?
It's great. It's great. And I look forward to us getting back in our studio. And hopefully a week or so we can do that. And but I'm glad we can still share these messages and thankful for our listeners and all the encouragement that they give to us.
Absolutely. Even this past week when we were recording remotely, we heard from a variety of different people. And every time we get a text message or an email or some face-to-face feedback, that makes this work in the middle of the week feel very, very, very worthwhile. I know it helps me to think through these things, and we're glad to hear that it helps other people as well. This was actually your second sermon in a little series that you're doing on the same page. And if ever there was something to be on the same page with God about, surely it is about salvation. And I'll give you the opportunity here in a minute to kind of hit some other high points of the sermon. But I thought particularly poignant was when you took us back to Matthew chapter 7. Toward the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he says in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Leading up to your reading and thinking through that verse, Roger, you made a very bold, very straightforward statement. You said, "If I mess this up, I will miss heaven." Now, you know, just as surely as I know, there are a lot of preachers who would not be willing to make such a bold, straightforward statement. So let me just put you on the spot. Why do you feel some level of comfort and assurance and even you feel compelled to tell an audience of people, "If I mess this up, I'm going to miss heaven"? Why do you feel like something like that needs to be said in 2021?
Well, you know, the Lord, I think, always had plain speaking, and we need to be speaking plain. We can wrap things up and sugarcoat them and make it look like that everybody's good, everybody's nice, but sometimes that's not the reality. The Apostle Paul told Timothy that there was things that were going to be out of season, and out of season simply means it's not popular. So I do this not because of me. It's not because I stand on the mountaintop and I'm so confident and I know everything. It's because of the scriptures. And when you read that statement you just read, as I did my sermon, there were four conclusions you can pull out of that, and you can't miss them. And Jesus is really, as he wraps this sermon up, you know, there's three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and he's trying to tell them, this is it. Don't walk away from hearing this and say, "Well, you know what, I'm going to make cookies for the kids down the street, and that's going to get me in heaven." That's not what he says. And we don't do anybody a service or a favor when we hide the truth. I go to the doctor. I may not like what he hears, what he says to me, but I need to hear the truth. I mean, if he just pats me on the back and says, "You know what, keep eating a dozen donuts a day," you know, sure, I love that. But you know what? Reality is that's going to catch up with me. But if he says, hey, you need to watch your sugar intake, or hey, you need to do this, you need to do, I may not like the message, but I know the message is going to make me better. You sit down with a financial guy and he says, you know, you've been living paycheck to paycheck for the last 50 years and you're going to run out of work. You're going to not gonna be working someday and you're going to wind up broke. I may not like to hear that, but he's trying to help me. And so when we look at these verses of Jesus, we may not like the reality, but it's trying to help us. To say, just keep going on in your life and keep dancing with the devil and have a great time, be as happy as you can be, that's not the message of Jesus. So what we need, what we've always needed, and what we need especially today is just honest, plain talking preaching. And yeah, that is missing today, so much so.
Absolutely. You know, it is right after this in his Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives that famous conclusion. We learn, many of us, as little kids in the form of a song, right? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And he tells us rain is going to fall in life. Floods are going to come and winds are going to blow and they're going to beat on that house. If someone has not loved me enough to tell me the truth before those storms come, I'm going to be unprepared. Or if someone loved me enough to tell me the truth, but I decided that I knew better and I was going to do otherwise, that doesn't stop the storm from coming. And when the storm comes, it's too late to dig and lay a foundation as the rain is falling, right? That work needs to come before the storms begin to blow. And a lot of times that involves listening to warnings, even when there are beautiful blue skies the way we've been enjoying here in Southern Indiana the last couple of days.
And you know, this idea comes straight out of the book of Ezekiel. Twice, once in chapter 3, once in chapter 33, he uses the analogy of a watchman on the wall. Yeah. And so everyone's going about life down below in the city. They're shopping. They're just doing their stuff. And there's a appointed watchman. And off in the distance, he sees smoke arising. Here comes an invading army. And he doesn't warn the people. Well, when the city falls, he's to blame. But if he sees that coming and he blows his trumpet, warns the people, but they ignore him, it's not his fault. And we see that in our times today. We have tornado warnings and these sirens blow and you take cover. For the guy who gets in his car and says, you know what, I'm going to go to 7-Eleven and you know, the tornado's nearby, he ignores it. He's at fault for himself. And so that's really the message throughout the Bible, that as messengers, you know, there's parts of the lessons that are not as pleasant as we may want them to be, but we're trying to help people out. It's hard to say I love you when I see you're about to crash and I say nothing. Yeah. You know, you got to question how much somebody really loves you when you do that. So that's kind of the backdrop of all that.
Sure. You mentioned earlier that there were four conclusions from Matthew 7. And in our last few minutes of this episode, I think it would be worthwhile just kind of walking through those things.
Sure.
Your
sure.
Conclusion number one from Matthew 7 was there is a day on which all of this will matter. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, as that text read, it says on that many, verse 22, many will say to me on that day. I think the Lord has in mind the judgment day. And on that day, that's what's going to matter most. You know, on that day, to stand before the Lord and say, hey, I got my brackets picked out. They came out pretty good this year, Lord. that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We can go on life just thinking every day is going to be the same. Every day is going to be the same. But someday is going to be the last day. And on that day, what matters most is where are you with Jesus?
Right. This is at the conclusion of this sermon where he talked about the Beatitudes, being poor in spirit, mourning over our sins, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being a peacemaker. He talks throughout that sermon about how we deal with our anger, the battle against lust, issues of marriage and divorce and remarriage, how we treat our enemies, how we look at those around us who are in need, whether or not we're laying up treasures in heaven, how we deal with the anxieties of life, whether or not we look down on others and judge them, all the while living in the very things that we're condemning, how we treat others, whether or not we treat them the way that we would want to be treated. It's all right there in this sermon. And Matthew 7 is its conclusion. And I thought that was a great way of getting us to think ahead. There is a day on which all of this will matter. Many of us have heard those things over and over and over again, but are we practicing them day by day? There's a day on which all of this will matter. Conclusion number two you offered, there is an understanding that Jesus is in charge. What do you mean by that?
Well, that also comes from verse 22, where he says, many will say to me on that day. Why are they saying it to Jesus? And as I said in the sermon, why aren't they saying it to Caesar? He was a leader of the empire. Why are they not saying it to their parents? Because Jesus is in charge. On that day, they're going to stand before God. On that day, it matters about Jesus. And so there's a sense in which they understood that Jesus Christ is in charge. They're not saying to each other, they're saying it to me, he said, saying it to Jesus.
Yeah. What would you say to the person who says, well, I've never seen Jesus before, so how do I know he's in charge?
Well, I never saw George Washington, but I know he was alive. Okay. Yeah. I never saw Abe Lincoln, but I know he was alive. We know he's in charge because, first of all, there's historical evidence. There's fulfillment of prophecy. John chapter 5 talks about the Father bear witness, the scriptures bear witness, the miracles bear witness. The proof that Jesus Christ, who he was, is overwhelming. And then to understand, when you look at scriptures, that he is a son of God. All authority, Matthew 28, has been given to him. He is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. So everything revolves around Jesus. He is in charge. That's throughout scriptures. We're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Do all things in the name of Jesus. So, I mean, just all through the scriptures, Jesus is the one. And so, you know, my answer to someone says, how do I know that? It's just walk through the New Testament. Just notice that. You'll be overwhelmed with how many times it refers to Jesus being the authority or being in charge. I am the vine. You are the branches. You know, a branch by itself cannot live. You cut off a branch from a vine, it's not going to die. Well, what's the vine? That's Jesus Christ. And so over and over, we see that concept in scriptures.
Yeah. That leads us to conclusion number three from Matthew chapter 7. There is an accountability to Jesus. What difference does that added layer make?
Well, you know, not only is he in charge, it's one thing to be in charge, but we don't have to answer to him, but he's in charge and we have to answer to him. So again, in this Matthew 7 passage, it says, many will say to me on the day, Lord, Lord. And what they're doing is they're trying to justify their case. They're going to talk about all the good things that they have done to try to get themselves to be right with the Lord. They understood that they were accountable to Jesus, and that made all the difference. And so, on that day, okay, I'm not going to stand before the government. I'm not going to stand before my parents. I'm going to stand before my God, and I'm accountable to him. He did not make me climb mountains that were impossible. He did not tell me you have to swim oceans, which you cannot do, but here's a life and you can live it. He's going to want to know if I did that or not.
Yeah. The last conclusion that you offer from Matthew chapter 7, and maybe this is the one right here in the middle of the week that people need to hear. I know I need to hear this at times. You said there is the cold reality that doing good is not good enough. What do you mean by that?
Well, I thought long and hard about how to phrase that. And it is a cold reality. Because I think the gospel of the age is that if you're just good, you go to heaven. If you die in service, you're a fireman, a policeman, a serviceman, and you've died rescuing somebody, that's an automatic ticket to heaven. I was watching some sports the other day, and they talked about these coaches who had died, but how they're up in heaven. You don't go to heaven just because you coach basketball. That's not what he says here. And so in this Matthew passage, many will say to me on that day, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons, in your name perform many miracles. Three times he uses in your name. They're not doing this in the name of Satan. They're not doing it in their own name. In the name of Jesus. They were doing good things, but they didn't do the will of the Father. And that's how this whole section starts out, where he says, here in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. And so that statement kills the idea that I'm religious in my own way. I'm a free thinker. I don't necessarily go by the Bible, but I do good things. Well, this passage is killing that idea. If you want to go to heaven, you have to do what God says. You have to please the Lord. And that's the drive here. And that's hard for a lot of people to understand, that a sweet little grandma down the street who always made cookies may not go to heaven, because you don't go to heaven because you make cookies. You go to heaven because you do the will of the Father. And that's not a popular topic. And you're not going to hear a lot of folks talking about that today. They're just going to say, be happy or do what you think is right. Do what your heart tells you to do. But what we learn here is you got to do what the Bible says. You got to do
right.
What God says.
Right. And that is your task as a preacher. That is my task. That's the task really of all of us, to be willing to speak the truth, preach the word, give voice to this news that we say has changed our lives. You mentioned, Roger, and I would completely agree that at times there are things that need to be said that aren't pleasant, but how wonderful that you and your sermon and any time that we preach, what we're really trying to communicate is, yes, there is a God, and he is in charge, and we are accountable to him, and the day is going to come that we stand before him. But we're not on our own. This same Jesus who loved us enough to tell us the truth in Matthew chapter 7 was willing to die for us in Matthew chapter 27, right? As the Lamb of God that was given to atone for our sins. This is the Jesus who we are told has conquered death in Matthew chapter 28 and given us the way to be victorious over sin and even death itself. We love the fact that Jesus is our sacrifice. We love the fact that Jesus has conquered death, but right in tandem with that, we need to look to Jesus as our leader, as the one who defines truth for us.
And these words were not spoken to keep people out of heaven.
Right.
They were spoken to get them to heaven. And so as the sermon was about, this is about salvation. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can have a second chance, but you have to do it according to God's way.
Yeah. You've got to get on the same page with him. I really appreciated that analogy, that sermon. I'd encourage our listeners, if you've missed either one of those On the Same Page sermons, they're freely available at charlestownroad.org. You can download the audio. You can watch the video. these are things that we need to understand and be able to talk about in 2021. Roger, it's Wednesday. Maybe someone is listening to this on Wednesday morning and they've got plenty of advance notice about what's coming in a Bible class that you're teaching this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. What do you have locked and loaded for us?
Yeah, we are continuing our series on the life of Joseph, talking about rising and building, our theme this year. And we're going to look at the very end of his life and really what happens after his life. He asked to be buried back in Canaan, the promised land. And we're going to talk about that journey of carrying the bones of Joseph. And they were carried for a long, long time. And there's some lessons we learn about carrying the bones. That's what we're going to talk about.
7 o'clock p.m. this evening. We would love to have you present in person in the auditorium. We'll also be live streaming at charlestownroad.org. Roger, you're also scheduled to preach this Sunday morning. Where are you going to head with us there?
Still going to be talking about on the same page with God. This time we're going to turn our attention to the subject of worship. On the same page with God about worship. And we invite you to come and again to stay with us in this series.
Absolutely. Not this Sunday, March 28th, but we're very excited to continue sharing, Lord willing, the following Sunday, Sunday, April the 4th. We are very excited about the relaunch of our Bible classes for all ages. I know many of our parents and our grandparents have been anxiously awaiting that relaunch. We've got teachers that are working every day to prepare for that. There are many more details about those Bible classes that we'll be offering on Sunday morning and Wednesday evenings at charlestownroad.org. We're continuing to see a lot of positive developments. We had this past Sunday a number of guests with us. That's always encouraging. We've been looking forward to for a long time to getting back to some semblance of normalcy, and every little step in that direction is an encouragement and something that we're very thankful for. Roger, I'm thankful that you were able to join me today remotely to record this conversation. I've enjoyed it, and we appreciate our listeners. Thanks for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We're looking forward to tonight, looking forward to this coming Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you continue to grow with us.